You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
The time has come.
I like that.
The time is now for Victoria Stilwell's Positively Podcast. She's a world-renowned dog trainer.
Seen enough dogs today, have you?
She's the host of It's Me or the Dog.
I'm coming to train you.
Along with co-host Holly Furfer.
You don't play around with that name, do you?
I am a fan of Shwethi Balls.
She's Victoria Stilwell, and she's ready to go.
This is a lovely way to start the day.
You get the busy bee. I need to trim her whiskers.
I see some poo here.
I feel a little bit better now because I'm the only one who usually feels stupid during the podcast.
Now, let's head to the studio and get this Positively Podcast started.
Hello.
It's Oscar night. And we're taking a break.
Well, here's it. We're sitting here.
Our studio has a great screen. So yes. We're watching the Oscars here in our studio. But we're actually taping this podcast after the red carpet and before the actual Oscars have started.
So we have opinions on dresses, but we don't know who wins.
Exactly.
And here's the thing, I'm feeling really not so attractive at the moment.
Well, look at us.
Yeah, I know.
Look at us.
I know.
We've had an hour of looking at these incredible women walking up the red carpet.
We do podcasts in our diamonds and our sequins every week, don't
well,
we?
Well, Holly, I have made us some lovely, gorgeous bracelets.
Bling.
So a little bit of bling with our tracksuit bottoms and so that we could feel a little bit better watching all these beautiful women walking the red carpet.
All right, favorite dresses.
Nicole Kidman.
Yes, I gave her a 10.
Kristen Chenoweth.
Gave her a 10.
Who else?
Stacey Keibler.
Yes, beautiful.
I think Stacey Keibler jumped to my top. That's George Clooney's girlfriend. She was a wrestler, Dancing with the Stars, just all over beautiful. It's a tie for me between Naomi Watts, Stacey Keibler, and I do say that I wavered between a 9 and 10 for Halle Berry. She looked a little Grace Jones, and you had the funniest comment about her dress.
It looked like 1920s, 1930s architecture.
Like the Empire
building.
State Building.
Exactly.
She was going with James Bond. But
she still looks fantastic.
Yeah. She never ages.
No.
So, yeah. So, I can't decide. Did you like Naomi? Who was your number one?
The Naomi was a little... I couldn't warm to that.
Really? I love that dress. Gray with the structure and the...
Couldn't warm to it. I have to say, I like Amy Adams.
Yes.
It's flowing. It really suited her. I thought it was beautiful.
I just have a problem with pale people wearing pale colors. You're never supposed to do that, I thought.
Okay, well, let's talk about Anne Hathaway then.
Oh, I don't know. It looks
She had the nipple dress.
It looks like nipples. I will say it was very cool and creative how she wore the Tiffany necklace backwards.
Yeah.
But what are you doing wearing a nipple dress? I didn't love that material. That satin is really particular. You know, it's that thick satin. I don't know.
She's beautiful.
Oh, she looks great. Her hair, her makeup was stunning.
And it was really great to see Robin Roberts up there hosting. Not hosting the red carpet.
Oh, yeah. She looked great.
She did.
And everybody, so the fan favorite, I guess, at the end of the red carpet live was the number one was Jennifer Lawrence. And I got to be honest with you, it looked like a wedding dress.
It did. I didn't like that.
I wasn't a fan.
No, she's tall. I mean, Kristen Chenoweth, who is tiny, and I've met
4'11".
Her. She hosted the Hero Dog Awards. And it was great because we were watching the Oscar, the red carpet with my daughter. And she was like, I know her. I've had pictures taken with her. She is delightful. Kristen Chenoweth is delightful. She was fantastic as a host.
She's really good. She has a new job if she wants it, I'm sure. I just have to tell you, like, some of my... Jessica Chastain looked beautiful.
Yes.
For pale girls and pale dresses, I will say, I'll give you that.
What did you say about that? You wish you'd never sunbathed?
Oh, I know. When you look at this, I wish... If I could tell my younger self one thing, it's don't sit in the sun. Like, these girls are alabaster and beautiful, and here I have sunspots and wrinkles and... It was fun while it lasted.
Going a little bit over the top, Holly, but I see what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Not like, you. I'm staying with them.
They're gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Oh. Now, I will say that I will, in the what were they thinking categories, I got to be honest with you. There was a couple dresses where I just went, Like, for instance, people were raving about Reese Witherspoon. I didn't see it. I know she just had a baby. She looks fantastic, but I just thought that the top cut her off.
Holly, I know nothing about celebrities. I really don't know kind of the latest celebrity gossip. I didn't even know that Reese Witherspoon had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So what was my comment? Oh, is she pregnant?
Yeah. So maybe after baby you just... And it's like, so Channing Tatum, he looked great, but he would have looked a lot better naked. And his wife, Jenna Dewan, she looked great. She's pregnant, but I just didn't like that lacy thing. Like, for me, I love when pregnant ladies wear those big, flowy, beautiful, like, it's just, that's just personal.
Ethereal.
And then, so here, I gave one. We judged them. Vic and I judged 1 through 10, and Alex, her daughter. And we gave, I got to tell you, Daniel Day-Lewis, his tux was navy, which was really cool. But I'm not so sure. I would love to ask a stylist. A navy tux with a black tie. Like, aren't you supposed to match, or nothing else seemed black. But anyway,
he can do what he wife, likes. He's going to win the Oscar anyway.
That's true. But don't you want it, like Anne Hathaway, don't you want to accept the Oscar in an outfit that you're going
well,
to
Well, she will. If she won, and obviously by the time you're listening to this podcast, you'll know, she will accept the Oscar in her nipple dress.
And forever will be known like that. But Daniel Day-Lewis' wife, Rebecca Miller, Arthur Miller's daughter, she's a playwright. Yeah, did you not know that? Our producer just looked at us like, really? Yes. Arthur Miller's daughter, her stepmother was Marilyn Monroe. She was wearing an old lady dress. I had a dress like that for like a prom, I think, that when my parents did not want me to look, you know.
It looked like something out of the 1980s.
And then can we talk about the only guy I gave a 10 to is Hugh Jackman. I thought he looked spot on.
And his wife, who, is what? It bad to say that his wife looks like his mother?
Well, when you dress like that, you become his mother.
Yes, you
right.
do.
I don't care the age difference and how old they are, but she was wearing a black tux, if you didn't see it, with that fake ponytail that did not match her real hair. And if you're going to do that, you look like you're old looking, trying to look young. So it just points out the fact that you're older.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
Well,
I'm sure she's very nice and very sweet. But anyway, as I say this, you know, sitting here in my sweats and my, my ponytail. And so, okay. So really quickly, who do you think is going to win best actor?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
I agree. How about, best, actress?
That's a tough one. Anne Hathaway.
I think she's best supporting, isn't she?
Oh, she's best supporting.
Yeah, I think she's going to win for best supporting. Best actress, Jessica Chastain, maybe?
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen the film.
Zero Dark Thirty? So good.
Oh, Jessica Chastain. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yes, I think she will win. She won the Golden Globe.
Yeah, although that doesn't always mean anything because Ben Affleck, who's won everything, did not even get nominated for Argo, which is a total slight. But I love Steven Spielberg. I think he's genius. So, I don't know. Very interesting. So we'll have to... I'm almost afraid to guess because then people are going to see how dumb we are.
I think Argo is going to win Best Picture.
You think? Yeah, I think so. I think it deserves
so.
It.
Yeah. I think it would be great.
Well, we'll find out because everyone's going, no, it didn't win or you need to. Anyway, let's talk about, you've been really busy. You've been gone.
Yes, I have been gone. And I went to the American Humane. It was Tea with Victoria at
That's
West
right.
Palm Beach.
Oh, nice.
I'm ambassador for the American Humane Association, as you know.
Tea.
And it was sold out crowd of West Palm Beach's finest.
Wow, I bet it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. And it was the Chesterfield Hotel. Tea was delightful. The company was delightful. Lots of wealthy people in West Palm Beach. So
That's
I hope
great.
The American Humane did very well.
That's great.
Because I think they had to pay rather a lot to have tea with me.
Wow.
And we had a great, I gave about a 45-minute talk and a question and answer session. So We talk about, we celebrate dogs. So we talk about dogs' emotions, about how they think, about their feel, about how dogs smell, about how they see. I give really interesting facts and information about their own dogs. I answer their questions. I basically teach them what it must be like, what the world must be like from the dog's point of view. And it's all done in a really kind of light and entertaining way. And there's a lot of laughter. We joke around. People have a good time. So after they've come to one of my talks, they go out, they have a lot of knowledge, but they've also had a laugh as well. I'm not one of these people that likes to stand there and give serious talks, you know, and be very, very serious about it.
So it's not like a dissertation. You do a PowerPoint presentation.
No. But for the next one, for the morning after, I had to drive up to Orlando afterwards, and early morning, I was at the Global Pet Expo, which is, I think, the largest trade fair, pet product trade fair in the United States. And I was speaking at the Professional Women's Networking Breakfast. And again, that was a PowerPoint presentation about business and about how I created It's Me or the Dog and about how we developed and how we developed our businesses from there. But it was to a lot of women who are in the product business and who, the Pet Expo is massive, probably about 4 or 5 football fields of just product.
Did you get a chance to walk around and see anything?
I did. I wish I'd had more time to do so. I was at my a stall that we've had a partnership with Dog is Good, you know, the t-shirts mm-hmm. that I have.
I love it.
I love my t-shirts, and we launched a new t-shirt, Positive Reflection. And you'll be able to see that on my website very, very soon and purchase that on my website. That was great. So, but I didn't have time to really go to a lot of different stores, but we had some great meetings with people that are interested in working with me. So it was good.
Did you get a sense of what the big trends are in the dog animal world?
Well, what's so great for me to see is that 10 years ago when I started It's Meal the Dog, you know, one of the things that we would try to fight against was bad food, people feeding their dogs bad food. And really that was kind of all that was available, any sort of food that was natural and that didn't have any bad preservatives or anything like that. That was sort of new and groundbreaking. Well, it's great to see now that actually the food that's out there actually is better than I eat. It's all really, really good, and it's nutritionally sound, and it's not artificially preserved. No artificial colors or flavorings in them. It's
fillers.
All great, great stuff.
My dogs eat better than my husband does. I can't do anything about it. It's by his choice. But yeah, there's some really great stuff.
Yeah. So, and you know, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of products out there that will never see the light of day, and people put their heart and soul into these things, but for whatever reason, the money runs out. Mm-hmm. They just don't sell. The shops don't want to buy it. And so people lose their investment, all the money that they've invested in these products that they really believe in. And so there were some products that people showed me, because of course everyone wants to give me their products mm-hmm. so that I can put it on my show, which I've done a lot. But there were some products that people gave me that were just awful.
Oh.
2 years ago when I was at the show, somebody came along and gave me a product that looked like, well, it was very long, it was green, and it was about, I'd say, probably about 8 inches long, green, rubbery, with kind of, it looked very...
Mm-hmm, phallic.
Yes.
But what was it toy for? Like, it was a toy for something to chew on?
Yes, it was a toy to chew on.
So it was and a he, decent
and
thing.
And he wanted me to stand there and hold it and take a picture. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. And I had to say, oh, look, this is great, isn't it? As I was bending it around thinking, a lot of people could have a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, that may not see.
I haven't seen that product in the shop. I don't think I ever will.
It's not the kind of shop you're frequenting. A lot of it ended up in.
I hope not. You know what? A lot of dog toys can resemble such such instruments.
Sure.
And and some of them we've had quite a laugh with on our show.
Yeah.
On my show.
I mean, if it makes your dog happy.
So be it. Great to chew.
Don't take it out in public.
Everybody.
And so now, so you've talked about your seminars. You have a couple coming up.
Well, I love the people that I meet at the Global Pet Expo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one of them is Dr. Marty Becker. He is America's vet.
Yeah,
he's
why
the
do
vet
I know
on,
that?
He's the veterinarian on Good Morning America.
Yes, that's why I know the name.
This guy, I want him to come and be one of our guests.
Okay.
Because he is the kindest, nicest, most wonderful person you are likely to meet. And if he lived here, I love my veterinarian mm-hmm. here. I love him, love him, love him. But I would go and take my dogs to him, because you just want to just say, can I just hug you and spend a day with you, please? Dr. Marty Becker, we're going to have him on the show. And please watch Good Morning America to watch him. But he's doing this great new thing, fear-free vet visits.
Mm-hmm. For your dog.
For your dog, for your cat, for any pet. We've got to get him on here to discuss it.
Okay.
Because what he's doing is groundbreaking.
Good.
And awesome and amazing.
All right, book him. I definitely want to talk to him because vet visits are not fun for me.
No.
Not going to the vet in the car, not being at the vet waiting, and certainly not when I get home and I get the cold shoulder and maybe a little bit of sweat.
Exactly. Okay. Now you
again,
can talk about
Sweden seminar. You're going to be in Sweden. So that when I asked, what do you do in your seminar? You told everybody. So if you're in Sweden, March 16, 17, you'll be in Stockholm?
Yes.
Okay. Positively.com/appearances will you be. And then talk about the Miami Dog Bite Conference as well.
Oh, very excited about that. That's April 26. Yeah. And that again. Oh my gosh, we've got such great speakers, and it's a day full of information. You will be assaulted by information. And it's so good just for dog owners. It's great for shelter workers. And it's great for anybody that's involved with animals, veterinarians. And it really is to tackle the dog bite problem that we've got in this country. Mm-hmm. But also, yes, to raise awareness, to prevent dog bites from ever happening. So things that you can do to really create a sociable dog and a dog that doesn't feel the need to bite. But also when a bite happens, what do you do? How do we protect our children? So I really encourage people to attend.
Fantastic. And let's talk about, you just joined the board of Canine Assistance.
Yes, terrific. I was asked to be a board member, Canine Assistance.
Such an amazing organization. I've done stories on them. You've done stories with them. Jennifer Arnold is a woman who has devoted her whole entire life to training assistance dogs. And they do everything from, obviously you think of wheelchair-bound people who are ambulatory, who can't do a lot of things on their own. Dogs are trained to help them, from picking up something they've dropped to opening a refrigerator to alerting them, you know, something is going on, to get them where they need to be. And then also now seizure dogs, they can detect a seizure before they happen. Diabetes dogs, they can detect high or low blood sugar. It's amazing what she has done for these dogs.
They're doing research, a lot more research, for the seizure response dogs to find out what is it exactly that they're responding to. But let me tell you this. When I was up there a couple of weeks ago, they were having one of their camps. They have camps every 4 times a year so that the recipients that have been matched with the dog, and remember there's 2,000 people on the waiting list waiting for a dog. And so, you know, it's not first come, first serve basis. It's who needs it most.
And for the record, they don't charge the recipients at all. It's all done by donations and grants from very generous people.
Absolutely. And if you can't pay for vet care, and if you have a problem with paying for food, they'll pay it for the rest of that dog's life. It's an incredible organization. I'm very proud to be a board member. So the recipients are there. They go through a 10-day course where they're matched with their dogs and they work with their dogs and they go out on trips with their dogs and they learn how to live with their dogs. It's a big deal, you know. I've never seen this before. But what happened is that when I went in, they were doing, each recipient was coming to tell Jennifer how they were doing, so with their dog. So it was with an adult, and the adult will come in and be able to talk for itself. But if it was a child, the parents would come in with the child. And there had been a child that had just left the room that was had epilepsy. Another child came in with her parents who was just had mobility impairment. And one of the dogs was brought into the room to see if this was going to match with the child.
The child with the mobility impairment?
Yes. Okay. So they brought this dog in, and the dog immediately started to, the sound, it was like, and it started to snap its jaws, like, and kind of breathe, and its nose started to flare. Do you know what it was smelling?
What?
The girl had a seizure in the room. The little girl that had just been there, who had an epilepsy, had gone from the room, had gone back into another room. The dog that had just, that came in after the girl had left, had sensed
that she was about to have a seizure.
She was about to seizure.
Did she have a seizure in the other room?
She had a seizure in the other room. So the dog had sensed that.
Wow.
And so was drawing in that scent and was responding to it. I saw it with my very own eyes. That is a seizure response dog. So there's definitely something about the smell that somebody's giving off prior to a seizure. Mm-hmm. But also the seizure response dogs also help to alert parents or caregivers of people when their person is having a seizure, whether that be during the day or at night.
Yeah, it's the same thing with diabetes as well. They can detect high and low blood sugar. It's a smell, and they can decide before they go into a shock or into a coma. It's amazing.
And didn't you
talk to one of the recipients?
I did. And when I was at the APDT conference last October, I recorded a great interview with a girl called Channing Seideman, and she is one of the recipients of one of these seizure alert dogs, seizure response dogs, I should say, and she told me about her experiences.
The Positively Hotline is ringing.
We don't know what we're going to do. We have no plan. We're just here.
Who's calling in this week?
He went after her like she's made out of ham.
That is interesting. That's exciting.
Is somebody going to answer that?
Hello? Hotline ringing.
You're on your phone, and I don't think taking any of this seriously.
End the ball!
Ladies and gentlemen,
let's go!
I'm here with Channing Seidemann and her beautiful golden doodle, Lady George. And Channing has had Lady George for 2 years, and Lady George comes from Canine Assistance. Channing has had epilepsy for 10 years, and she has very kindly agreed to give us an interview and talk about her experiences of epilepsy and what it's like to have a service dog like Lady George. So welcome, Channing, to the podcast, and thank you for speaking to us.
Thank you, Victoria.
Tell us about your experiences of epilepsy and what led you to think about getting a dog to assist you.
Epilepsy took away a lot of my independence. I was on the couch. I missed most of middle school because due to seizures. And then I didn't know when they would come on, and I didn't know how big they would be. So getting Georgie, she gave me a lot of my independence back. She can go get my meds. She can go get help. She can go get the phone, and then after a seizure, I can't see, so she's always there, which brings me a sense of comfort. But to go along with that, she's also a great belcher, burper, snore, has a great personality other than that as well.
That's so much part of these dogs, that they give you your independence back. So you're saying, so for how long were you suffering with this before you got her?
So I was living with it for 8 years, and in that time I didn't know if I would ever, what my life would be like. I didn't know, once I got the news, I'd have it the rest of my life. I didn't know if I would be able to ski again, horseback ride again. I didn't know where my life would end up. And Georgie, she was able to allow me to continue to do those things. She goes to work with me, and to get a sense of how strong the bond is with Georgie, one day I was at work at a barn, and I went to catch a horse, and I clipped Georgie to the fence because I didn't want her in the pasture to get hurt. And when I came back after catching the horse, I couldn't find Georgie. I just saw a leash hanging. It turns out Georgie had pulled the leash and split it in half just so she could see me to make sure I was okay. So it's a very strong bond that you develop with your dog, and it's quite amazing.
Now, you say that after you've had a seizure, she can do things for you, not just physically, but emotionally she's there for you, so it's not such a scary experience. With certain seizure alert dogs, would we call them seizure alert dogs or seizure response dogs? Would you say, has she ever alerted you to an impending seizure, or she's just there as a companion after the seizure happens and to get things for you after the seizure happens?
We think she's alerted to me a couple times. There were, when I first got her, my seizures were still very active, very large. She did go and get my mom, go get help. And she brought my mom to me. I was in bed, and about 5 minutes later, I had a seizure. She did that twice. It's not continued. She has, but those were the only times you know of. Since I've gotten her, my seizures have calmed down a bit. So it's a good thing that she hasn't alerted, just because she hasn't been exposed to the as many seizures. So it is, but you know. It's not all about the alert part, because what she does for me is, that's part of the reason my seizures have calmed down.
So, how long did it take you when you applied, because you obviously got her through Canine Assistance, run by the wonderful Jennifer Arnold, how long did it take you from when you applied to when she came into your life?
It took me quite a while. Once we sent in the application, we did some emails back and forth with Jennifer and Gary, and so it took a while. We were very fortunate to have ended up on the list.
What I love about Canine Assistance is that they, you're on the list for need, really, isn't it? They don't go by the list of, you know, who first come, first serve basis. It's on a need basis first. Plus, also, they don't charge for the dogs. And I think there's not many programs like that where these dogs are literally free, and the Canine Assistance will continue, if the person needs it, to assist them with veterinary medical care costs, with food if it's needed, and I think that's what sets Canine Assistance apart from so many other organizations. So you're how old now?
I'm 19. And Canine Assistance, what sets them apart, and I mean, they're just amazing in their organization in general, but the fact that in the way they run things, you don't go there just to get a dog, but that was, you know, our first impression. We're going to go there, we're going to get this dog, and a miracle's going to happen. But no, it's just the opposite. You go there, and you have an exam, you go on field trips, your dog picks you, and you're going to keep testing a dog until they see that spark, and they won't let you go home until they know that that's the dog for you, and that's it, that's set. And I mean, they have their own breeding program, veterinary program, and the way they train their dogs is quite amazing. The choice teaching, Georgie's never been reprimanded in her life. It's quite an amazing program. They set them apart in so many more ways.
I think it's really sad when I see assistance dogs programs, whether they're training their dog through force and fear, or they're putting the prong collars or electric collars on them, which is just insane if you think these dogs are assisting and yet you're forcing these dogs into doing it. I think dogs have much more ability to be able to make choices and actually think for themselves when there's a situation, when they're trained using positive methods rather than when they're trained using force and fear. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. And the Canine Assistance trained Georgie in a way that she wants to work, she wants to do her job, and it makes the bond that much more tighter, because she wants to help you. She knows that's her job, and it makes it that much more rewarding for both you and Georgie.
If there are people listening who are going through some kind of medical issue, young people like you, what would you say to them? What would be your advice to them?
If you're able to get, number one, don't give up on yourself. You always have to move on. And if you need an extra hand, an extra helping hand to make sure you can do that, then by all means, they're there for you, and they want to help you to help you move forward and move on with your life, because it's not who you are. It doesn't define you. It's just one of those challenges that you just have to get over. And if you need a little Georgie or another, maybe a Butch, by all means, they will change your life and rock your world upside down.
And what do you give Georgie in return?
As much love as I can think of. I can never give back as much as she's given to me, but I do my best to make that happen.
Well, I can certainly see the bond between you, Channing. Thank you so much for talking to us, okay? And best of luck with the future.
Thank you, Victoria.
Hey, you got something on your mind?
What, are you a wizard, a genius?
How do they make a miniature? I mean, is there some way, some process they physically miniaturize the dog, or is it a puppy, or what the devil is going on?
That's a really good question.
I've got my work cut out for me here.
Next time you want to know something...
Can you repeat the question?
Why don't you ask Victoria? She's the expert with this kind of stuff, you know.
You obviously don't know my dog.
Just ask Victoria.
I love those pieces of dialogue from Best in Show, that movie. You know, actually, I was reading something about that, and Fred Willard, who's phenomenal, he's my favorite character in that movie. He's doing the whole analysis and the play-by-play at the dog show. He said that he purposely did not learn anything about dogs. He didn't read about dogs so that he could just make it up. Like, wait, what? Yeah, like, you know.
That's genius, you see, isn't it?
Loved it. Okay, so let's get to Ask Victoria. And first we have Sharon, who goes by Chip. And she's in Chicago. And she says, Victoria, my name is Sharon, and I volunteer for the Chicago Canine Rescue. Already, you're one of our favorite people ever. I try to do some obedience training with some of their dogs, thinking if better behaved, they will have a better shot at getting a home. She's brilliant. Some of the dogs are beyond my skills. Do you have someone in Chicago that could donate a couple of hours to give me some pointers on what to do with more problem dogs, so we can set up a day and time? She really wants to help these dogs have the best chance at their forever home. Thank you, Sharon. And I love Sharon. That's awesome.
Sarah McLeodry from Root Dog Training.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of my Victoria Still Positively dog trainers. Contact her.
Perfect. Good to know.
That's all you need to do. Go to positively.com/trainers. You'll get all her information from there, okay?
And thank you. We love you, Sharon. Chip. Whatever. She goes by Chip. Okay, next one is Gianna from Woodbridge, New Jersey, and she says, my German Shepherd puppy Nala is a toy and treat guard, and when my older dog Coconut goes close to her, she will attack and pick her. And if you don't help, I'll lose my puppy. I also need help with manners in public. She'll go out of control when we get to PetSmart or Petco, so we can't go places with her this summer. And we love going out to places and walking around, but we can't have an out-of-control puppy or she'll tackle someone. I need all your help, and my puppy and my family depends on it. And it sounds to me like there's a lot of resource guarding or toy guarding in that one. I know that firsthand. And it doesn't say how old the puppy is.
How old is the puppy? Yes. Older dog Coconut goes close to her, attack and pick her.
Obviously, maybe just attacks her, you know, goes at her.
Yeah. All right. Well, you don't want your dog to practice the behavior. So first of all, you do management. And the management is that you don't allow your dog, the puppy, to have a toy or a treat near the other dog. So when it comes to be toy time, or you're going to play with your toy, or it's going to be treat time, you separate them.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you don't have toys lying around. And I know it probably sounds a little bit, I want my dogs to be able to have toys. I want them to be able to share. That might come later on, but right at this moment, you got to stop this habit from happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so toys are given at a time when it's play and when they're separated. So they can have their toys, but they're not together when they have them. And it's easier to do with treats than it is with toys.
Yeah.
But that's just the way you got to do it. And then I think you really got to teach your puppy to trade, to give stuff up to you. And then when pup realizes, actually, I don't have to hold on to this stuff, then they'll probably, hopefully, be less guarding with the other dog too. So I think that's the way you've got to go. Now, with regards to being outside in public, it's just literally teaching manners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, puppies are like babies. They don't have any impulse control.
Mm-hmm.
And they learn it as they grow. So you have to teach it. And that means giving your dog a good canine education. This person lives in New Jersey, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, go to positively.com/trainers. You'll find some great trainers in the New Jersey area that will be able to come and help you. Because when you've got a resource guarding puppy, you can change an adult resource guarder, but it's easier with a puppy. Do it now.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get a really bad issue that you've got to try and change.
And also, you have your eHow Pets series on YouTube, right? So it's youtube.com/eHowPets, and you do the basics like sit, wait, you know,
you've
come.
You've got it all there. You've got all of the basic cues that you use with your dog. You've also got how to do the take it and drop it. You've also got to you also got a great video on how to prevent resource guarding,
mm-hmm.
how to get your dog to trade. So I really recommend that you go and watch it because mm-hmm. you've got all the information there. If you do need a trainer, and you know, when dogs are showing aggression or some kind of resource guarding or aggression, I always think, look, the money spent on a trainer is well spent.
Yeah,
there's Kathleen Georgievich and Sam Weick. And they are within sort of 25 miles of Woodbridge, New Jersey. So give them a call. They'll come and help you. And you look, you're not talking about session after session after session after session. You may be talking about two or three. It's money well spent for the rest of your dog's life.
Absolutely. And the whole point of, like you taught me, I have a dog that resource guards food and we have to separate him. He's still a little better, but he'll still do his thing. And then his little, you know, growling, whatever, then he'll eat. But what we just do is keep him separated. That's so there's no chance for fisticuffs.
Do you know, sometimes management is the best way.
Yeah.
Teaching is all about management and teaching. That's it.
Perfect. Okay, here's Mary, and she's in Narina, Australia, and she says she has a foster dog that digs big holes. Is there something we could do to stop it so she can find a good home? Have tried burying balloons. No luck. I'm not really sure what burying balloons is. Maybe when they dig, it scares them when they pop it.
Yeah, the balloon bursts and scares them so they don't dig. But you see, unfortunately, what happens is they just go dig somewhere else. Do you remember what happened when I came around to you?
Yes.
And when we filmed your show, we created a sand pit.
Mm-hmm.
And we hid toys in there
mm-hmm.
so that Cashmere Tanya could dig in the sand pit. Mm-hmm. And you always take the dog to the sand pit and encourage them to dig in there. So you create a place where the dog can dig. And you hide great toys. And every day the toy is different. And so the dog can dig and get the toy, and that's awesome. So it really redirects the digging onto something else. Dogs love digging. Mm-hmm. So if you can have an area of your yard where your dog is allowed to dig, great. That stops her from digging in other places.
And then when somebody, I mean, this is a foster dog, so if someone's interested in adopting the dog, then basically they just pass that information on. Yes. And say, hey, you're getting a dog and a sandbox.
Yeah, right, exactly.
There you go. It's like a bonus. We're throwing in the sandbox. Okay, let's do this one. This is Senna. She's in East Sussex, UK, and says, my Staffy Cross puppy is 8 months old and has been badly behaved from day one. But the most difficult habit we're dealing with is we walk her 3 times a day, and she refuses to toilet on the walks or in her garden. We could walk her for an hour, and she will pee on her walk, but will wait to poo in her sleeping area. Then she drags her poo around the room and into her bed. What can I do? I am disabled with a young baby and need help to understand my puppy and her behavior.
Wow. Drags it by her mouth, or just is she like a poop walker? You know how dogs poop and walk at the same time.
Oh, yeah. I don't think she's a poop walker. No, I think she waits. Like my lab used to be a poop walker. It was the most remarkable thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my chihuahua is.
Yeah.
Jasmine, she's a poop walker.
But no, this one sounds to me like the dog will not poop. It'll pee on the walk, but it won't poop on the walk.
Yeah.
It waits till it gets home. But why does it drag it? Because I thought they didn't like their sleeping area soiled.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, she's pooping in her sleeping area.
Or she's dragging it to her sleeping area.
No. She's pooping in a sleeping area, and then she drags her poo around the room and into her O and into her bed.
Right. So it's odd.
She's playing with it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what she's doing.
So I wonder if this dog has toys.
Get her toys.
Get her toys.
Get her
and
toys.
And then I guess the thing you have to do is just clean that poop up as soon
as she should be pooping outside. And I think sometimes dogs don't poop outside because when dogs are in the actual act of pooping, it can render them
vulnerable
to outside to attack. So some dogs feel they can pee because they can pee outside because they can pee quickly, but pooping is a whole different thing. And, so literally what you have to do, spend a day, okay? Pack yourself a nice packed lunch, your iPod, whatever you listen to for music, because you're going to have a long day. You take your dog out, your puppy out, you take your for a walk, or, you know, if you need somebody to help you do this, then a friend or a family member to help you do this whilst you look after your baby. And you walk your dog, and then you bring her back inside for a minute, and then you take her back outside. And you continue to do that all day whilst feeding her lots so that finally she poops outside. See, what's happening is that dogs get very smart. They go, okay, we're going to go for our walk. I'm going to do my pee. Then I'm going to come back in and, oh, this is my trigger coming back in. This is my trigger to poop. Mm. So what you do is that there's no trigger there anymore. They're coming back in, but boom, they're going straight out again. So it's almost like you're fooling the dog. You're bringing them back in. The dog goes, oh, good. I can poop now. Oh, now I'm being taken outside again. And that's done the whole day until dog poops outside.
And then do you just
lots of praise.
Yes.
Very good. Praise. Brilliant. This is awesome.
Perfect.
And that's how you tackle it.
Okay. One last question here. This is from Brittany in Missouri, and she wants to know, when does a puppy become an adult? And is a puppy a good choice with 3 cats?
Hmm. Well, that'll be fun. It'll be fun for the pup to chase the cats around. Around 18 months, dogs reach social maturity around 18 months, but some breeds 2 years, some breeds up to 3 years. But really, I guess the definition is 18 months. They turn into adults. They become adults.
And then as far as a puppy with 3 cats, I guess if the cats are in good health.
Yeah,
then,
you know. I always think about the cats. They're going to go through stress with a pup coming in. Don't know. At least you're having that puppy and you're rearing it with 3 cats. So hopefully that pup understands that it doesn't mess with those cats.
And those cats will probably make sure that the dog knows.
Yes.
I'm boss.
Yes.
When you, to introduce them, what's the first thing you would do when you bring that puppy into the house of 3 cats? Because, you know, cats will.
Well, I wouldn't get nose to nose at all. I would separate them, baby gates, you know, things like that. Give the cats a lot of levels that they can go up to, cat trees that they can escape to. Because I would be worried about the puppy, not the cats. So puppy needs to have own crate where it can be safe and spaced and supervised at all times when it's out of its crate.
So that it doesn't get a swipe in the nose or the eye like I had when I first had my cashmere with the cat.
Right.
Perfect. All right. Great. If you have any questions at all, send us questions for our Ask Victoria, positively.com/AskVictoria, and we will get to them all. And hopefully we will make a harmonious household for you.
And before we go, we have, don't forget, if you want to have a copy of my book, it's coming out March the 19th. You can pre-order it now.
Mm-hmm.
Go to my website, positively.com. You'll be able to find my book there. Order it, order it. It's a great book. It's a great read, though I say so myself.
I agree.
I'm tooting my own horn.
I'll toot.
And we just want to say the finalist, the winner of the small dog contest.
Oh, my God. There were so many. This was probably the toughest to narrow down. I mean, we went back and forth and back and forth. Everybody had their favorites. Oh, my gosh. It was great. But we finally got to one because this is the kind of dog I want, and you've got a dog like this.
I know it is, and now everyone's going to think that we chose the chocolate Labrador.
That's right, because you have a chocolate lab.
For our large dog, and now we're choosing a Chihuahua mix for our little dog, because I've got a Chihuahua. But it's not because I've got a Chihuahua mix. It's because
it's a cute dog.
It's a cute dog, and her name is Gypsy. Congratulations. Delinda McKinney, you are the winner of the small dog competition.
So cute. I love
Gypsy's
that little dog.
Gorgeous.
I want a dog like Gypsy.
Oh, she's so pretty. And you are going to win a signed copy of my book. Congratulations.
Awesome. A good day overall. All right. Now, we have to go because we have to see who... You all know who wins because you've already seen the Oscars. We haven't, so we have to go and watch. Shall we go?
We shall. And hey, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to Victoria Stilwell's Positively Podcast. For more information, visit positively.com. Get connected on Facebook as Victoria Stilwell or follow her on Twitter at It's Me or the Dog. This Positively Podcast has been brought to you by Pets Ad Life, who encourage you to get a pal for your pet. Visit petsadlife.org or the Pets Ad Life Facebook page to learn more. Be sure to tune in next time as Victoria helps to change dogs' lives positively.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.